News that several research teams around the world say they are on the verge of cloning a human being has been greeted with enormous skepticism. A large part of that skepticism comes from a well-established scientific fact. Cloning is not easy. Many species, including monkeys, still have not been cloned, despite scientists' best efforts. Even in animals that have been cloned, most of the time the procedure fails. NPR's Joe Palca reports.
In a darkened basement laboratory, Ann Powell is hunched over a microscope. She grasps two joysticks on either side of the microscope. They have that worn look, as if they'd come off a popular video arcade game. The joysticks control glass needles thinner than a human hair. Ann uses the needles to nudge a tiny gelatinous ball.
It takes a lot of practice and patience. I think kids that do a lot of Nintendo would probably be very good at this.
The ball Ann so skillfully manipulates is an egg taken from a cow. She needs to maneuver it into just the right position so she can pierce its outer membrane and remove the egg's DNA. She's aiming for a spot right behind a tiny bulge called the polar body. A TV monitor above her head shows a picture of what she sees through the microscope.
The polar body is at 3 o'clock.
I see it over to the right there, yeah.
I try and focus on the polar body, focus the needle, and go in and hopefully suck it out.
This is the first step in cloning, just one of several that must be completed before the end of the day. Instead of mixing the DNA from an egg and sperm to make an embryo, Anne and her fellow cloners remove an egg's DNA and substitute the genetic material from the animal to be cloned. The donated DNA determines the genetic makeup of the new embryo. Putting in the new DNA will happen this afternoon. For now, Anne's energies are focused on removing the DNA from egg after egg.
Where are you? Oh, there they are.
Do you find that after a day of doing this, you get a headache or your eyes start to bother
you?
Or?
Pretty much a zombie. I don't think you even think anymore after a day of doing this.
Finally, the last batch of eggs is completed. It has taken Anne about 2 hours to prepare 60 eggs. After putting them in an incubator, Anne walks wearily out of the room to get her lunch down the hall, stretching muscles wound tight from hours of concentration. As hard as it is, this is still the easy part of cloning. The egg itself has the really hard part, convincing the donated DNA, which in this case comes from a skin cell, to behave like the DNA in a developing embryo. Scientists here at the U.S. Department of Agriculture Research Station in Beltsville, Maryland, have produced 6 cloned calves since they began this particular project. But like most every other cloning effort, the success rate here is low. Only about 1 in 20 embryos survives until birth in this study. Cloning researcher Don Wolf of the Oregon National Primate Research Center says there are lots of reasons that cloning fails.
There's a whole host of events that must occur in a highly orchestrated fashion before you get a viable embryo that's capable of implanting and supporting a viable pregnancy.
No one really understands how an egg cell tricks a skin cell's DNA into behaving like the DNA in a normal embryo. The process, called reprogramming, is the subject of intense study. Wolf says failures in reprogramming are why most of the time cloned embryos don't survive till birth, and if they do survive, why they often have health problems. Dwayne Kramer has firsthand experience with the difficulties of cloning. He and his colleagues at Texas A&M University produced the world's first cloned cat, but so far, attempts to clone a dog have failed.
We have not produced any live offspring from that experiment, and it has been going on for over 3 years, 3.5 years.
Kramer says it's not all that surprising cloning is inefficient, since the first cloned animal, Dolly the sheep, was born just 6 years ago.
It's very much an experimental procedure as yet. It's in its infancy as far as its research is concerned. It has a long way to go before one would call it perfected.
As imperfect as the procedure is at the moment, it still offers a way of making genetically identical animals, something scientists see many uses for.
This is a whole new cell type I've never used before.
Ann Powell has returned to the lab after her lunch break. Back at the microscope, her next crucial step is to corral the cells that will donate their DNA to the eggs she prepared this morning.
I'm just trying to see what my control's like.
And what Ann is doing is she's using that thin glass needle to pick up the cells that are donating their DNA to make the clone, and poking them so they sit right next to the egg from which she's removed the DNA.
Again, it requires enormous concentration to get an egg into the right position so she can push the donor cell through the slit in the egg she made this morning when she removed the DNA.
There are so many steps in a day of manipulation where things can go wrong, and as I pass each step, if I get eggs in, they have polar bodies, and my control was good, and I enucleate well, and then I put them back in, and we get, you know, 60 or 80 eggs into the incubator, then that's a successful day. But the true judge of success is 9 months down the road, whether you get a calf on the ground.
By mid-afternoon, Anne is finishing up. About 20 eggs with donor cells sitting on top of them lie in a small plastic dish.
This is group number 3, and I take it in and Paul will fuse it, hopefully.
Fusion releases the donor cell's DNA into the egg, turning what were 2 separate cells into a single cell that will start to divide. Paul is Paul Graninger. In the lab next door, he's getting ready to zap the eggs Anne has prepared with a small jolt of electricity. He aligns the eggs and their donor cells between 2 microscopic electrodes.
Okay, now I'm going to zap them.
Paul reaches up and presses a button on a little box sitting on a shelf above the microscope. It's a totally pedestrian action. No sparks fly, no lightning crashes outdoors. And yet, Paul is aware it's a critical step on the way to producing life in a totally new way.
That's kind of neat, you know. I see him as a cell sitting here in a dish, and then I get to feed the calves later when they're on the ground. So it is kind of neat, you know, when you say, oh, last time I saw you were a cell, you know.
It will be a few days before Anne and Paul know whether the cells they've struggled with all day will start dividing, then months to know if they've made an embryo that can grow into a calf. But they know it's possible, and that raises the big question. If you can clone a cow and a pig and a goat and a sheep and a cat, could you clone a human? Oregon cloning researcher Don Wolf says, in theory, yes.
My bias is that we will develop the capability of cloning in all species, just simply a matter of time and effort.
For now, Wolf's efforts are focused on trying to make a genetic copy of an adult monkey using cloning. But despite the time and effort he spent, monkeys have yet to be cloned. Joe Palca, NPR News, Beltsville, Maryland.